Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other. And we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
This show is a proud member of the On Us All Podcast Network.
Who inspired Ned Stark to be the man who was willing to lose his head for honor's sake? We're going to be asking this question and a lot more in today's episode of Systematic Ecology. We are the priests of the geeks. I'm your host, Christian Ashley, joined today by a special guest, former host, great guy overall, Keno Kennedy. How's it going, Keno?
I am good, sir. Christian, it's good to see you. I think you had a little more hair last time I saw you.
Oh, yes. I have cut it all off since then. The curse of my father came to me. Just as I always knew it would. And now I look even more like him.
But it does look good on you, though. It does look good on you.
I'll take it.
Yeah, it does look good on you, sir. But no, it's good to see you, sir.
Yeah, it's good to see you too, Keno, man. Yeah, looking forward to hanging out today. Talking about some Game of Thrones again. It's been a while since we've done that. But before we head that way, we have to ask the question. What we've been geeking out on. So I want to hear, what you've been geeking out on, Keno?
I have just finished Hell's Paradise, the second season.
Okay.
And I just started The Night of the Seven Kings. Of the Seven Kingdoms. With Duncan Nuttall. And that is an interesting watch because, it's not as gritty as Game of Thrones or House of the Dragons. So it's like a little nice little... It is a family friendly thus far. I'm only on episode three.
Game of Thrones family friendly.
Yeah, very much for Game of Thrones, very family friendly. Yeah, so those are the things I've been geeking out on. How about you, sir?
Yeah, I just finished that not too long ago. I really enjoyed it overall, way more than I like House of the Dragon. but I actually just watched the first four episodes of the new Darth Maul show. I think they call it Shadow Lord. It is way better than I thought it would be, man. Loving it so far.
I have to say. So I was on vacation last week, and the cabin we were staying at, they had Disney Plus as well. And I was like, I was going to watch it, but I was like, no, I'm not going to do that because they didn't have a sound bar. You know how these flat screen TVs, all the sounds behind the TV. And I was like, I'm going to wait till I get home so I can watch it on my big screen TV in the dark.
Listen to it, right?
Oh, yeah. So you saying that reminded me I need to be watching that.
Okay.
Yeah, I am a Maul fan. Since day one.
1999, baby.
Yes. Oh, Maul has been it. And I mean, I've been following him from the Phantom of the Menace to Clone Wars to Obi-Wan. Oh, yes. Yeah. No. So.
Oh yeah,
I love his story. Yeah.
All right. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get into our regular conversation today. That, of course, being around the faces behind Ned Stark, continuing on in this series. This time around, of course, we're in Game of Thrones. So Keno, if there's someone out there for some reason decided that they picked up this episode and they have never once watched Game of Thrones in their life, could you describe it for them?
Yes. It's a show about families, power, position, schemes. There's a lot of gore. So if you can handle the gore, then this. If you cannot, then my recommendation: don't watch it or just skip past those parts because it's still a good story line in of itself. And I have to be honest, I tried to read the books. I tried, but they were too big, too thick, too big for me. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just do the audiobooks. So I will assure you when I get off here, I will do the audiobooks. But if you've never seen it, it is, again, it's a show about power, about family. And the characters, you will fall in love with somebody on this show. I don't care who it is, but you will find your character that you love. And this is a show I'm gonna say it like this. For those who used to watch Young and Restless, which I used to watch the stories, this is the stories with blood. Okay. This is the stories with blood. That's really your daytime stories with blood. That's the best way I could describe it.
It's a low fantasy starting off, you know, soap opera. You ain't wrong. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Fire, books are written by George R. R. Martin, mm-hmm. a very cantankerous man. We've talked about him in the past. Mm-hmm. He is very talented, mm-hmm. but he's also very opinionated and also very mm-hmm. lazy. That's all I'm going to say for right now.
I agree with that.
But what they are, they're the stories of these seven kingdoms within this realm of Westeros. It's an alternate version of Earth, as it were. Like, they don't go in like alternate dimensions or anything like that. But like, for the purposes of a fantasy story, this is where we're set. These kingdoms used to be ruled, but it's people grown as the Targaryens, who had these dragons. The dragons mm-hmm. have all died off. Mm-hmm. They were defeated in a rebellion led by our guy, Ned Stark, as well as Robert Baratheon, his friend, based on things that happened there. And now they take place, 20 years after that? I can't look at, someone's yelling at me right now. Sometime after the rebellion, it's about 20-something. Yeah, for him to have kids that old and like, ask him to become his hand, like his main guy, his, you know, chief vizier, as it were. And then all the machinations that happen, because he's used to things being one way up north, they're way different down south. And all the things that happen as a result of that. And sorry, by the way, we were going to be talking heavy spoilers today. Our guy kind of loses his head quite literally along the way.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
You know, once again, Sean Bean does not make it. So, you know, like, can you discuss like your history with the show?
I watched it live and in person every week. And this is before, binging and before the streaming services. So I had HBO. And when this came on, this was the thing that you did. And then having to wait, because every season, the last two episodes will put you at cliffhangers. The last two, not the last one, the last two episodes would always have you a cliffhanger. And so you had to wait either a year or 2 years before they came back and I'll never forget. This is another spoiler. I'll never forget when Jon Snow was stabbed and got killed. Mm. And we had to, and we was like, you know, then just to see him take that breath, and he had to wait a whole year to figure out what the hell just happened. Oh yeah, no. So my introduction was the shows live and in person. But I can say that because I did rewatch them, I binged them things maybe about a month and a half. Like, I was eating them up, about a month and a half ago. I was rewatching. I was like, this is still a great show, even though I knew what was going to happen. Because I rewatched some of the stuff leading up to the last few seasons. It still was exciting. Now, I have to admit, though, and I think, Christian, you agree with me, the last season was like, ugh. Yes. I'm a fan, I'm a watch it. That's
yeah.
the I'm a fan, it's I'm like, a watch it, but like
I poured my time and energy into this. I'm gonna finish. Mama didn't raise no quitter.
Yeah. So that's my introduction. How about you, sir?
Yeah. I got into it around the second season. I had some friends in college who had mentioned it to me, and they were both watching it. And at that time, I had no money, you know, being a college student. So as I've mentioned several times on the show, I may have used alternate means in order to watch the show. And I had to do that until I got back home several years later, where my sister had watched it independently of me and had gotten my dad and brother into it. So we would start watching Sunday, the new episodes together. Oh, and it was around time of season 4 or 5 is when I actually read through the books on my own. They're long. There's a lot of information in them. There's a lot of proper nouns. And if that's not for you, that's not for you. ain't nothing wrong with that. What's more digestible is a TV show.
Yes,
even with all those same names, it's a lot easier to see these things happen versus, you know, 700,000 plus page book. I get it. You know, some people are comic book readers. Some people are movie watchers. Some people are, you know, give me that Dostoevsky I can read, or any other Russian novelist for that matter, however long it is, and just keep going.
No, no. I remember I tried to do Hitler's Mein Kampf. It just run on sentences. I'm like, this man never takes a break. He doesn't know what a comma is or a period it is. I'm like, this is just too much.
I mean, that's one of the things you just got to do. It's like reading that in a Communist Manifesto or something like that. It's just like, this is what people thought. How do they think? How can I help understand them?
Yeah.
And people who think like them. But yeah, also at the same time, not a great author, surprisingly. A very great speaker, not a great author. A terrible person, that Hitler guy.
Yes, he was. God, he was. He was very terrible.
So that is the show itself. As mentioned previously, this is an episode based around the faces behind Ned Stark, who we believe very early on to be our singular main character. I mean, yeah, we have different perspectives over in the show, in the books, but like Ned is our guy. He's the most moral person. He's the most compassionate person. He's not without his flaws, but at the same time, he's a person we are rooting for to be like, let's all this madness within court politics. Like we're learning at the same time as him. It's like, this kind of sucks. It's like, maybe he'll get out of this. And then unfortunately doesn't make it. So like, Kino, like who is Ned Stark? Why does he matter for the story?
So, rewatching the show, you have an appreciation, and you get to pick up on nuances and things that happened that you didn't pay attention to because you're just so excited about all the other things that are happening. You know, with the lure of dragons and what else is happening? It's just the whispers and the secrets and the backstabbing that happens. But Ned is first and foremost, he's a father. He is a dad that loves his kids, and he's an upstanding guy. He is the epitome. He is the true embodiment of North, of the King of the North. Like literally,
yes.
Everybody in the North loved Ned Stark. They love the Starks. They love all of the Starks, but they love Ned more than anything else. And you saw how he held his honor when I think it was the first episode where you had one of the guys from the Night Watch running because he saw the White Walkers and they caught him in his land and so he broke his oath and Ned was like, listen, if I understand you're scared, but I stand by my words. And so we're gonna make sure that you stand by your word too. And I can't remember what's the name of his sword.
I'm sure that's the name of his sword.
No, I can't remember. It's like snow something. I don't know. It's not snow something. But
ice.
So every house, every major house has a sword, and most of them, not all of them, were Valyrian steel. But we'll get into that later. But he cuts this man's head off, and even though he did the honorable thing, but he still messed with him. But he didn't, I have to say this, he was naive to the game. And he did not understand how toxic and backstabbing Westeros was. And funny enough, every Stark that went south ended up dying. Every Stark. Now, Jon Snow is not a Stark, so we can't include him.
That's the answer.
I mean, I'm talking to men.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes. Okay,
just
fair
men,
enough.
Just to me, not the ladies, you know, because women were protected in some capacity, but not
in
that regard. Yeah, not in that regard. But he is he is the epitome of a father and a dad that you will want, because he stood for his children. Well, until he got to Westeros, because then he was like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. And then I felt bad for him. This is side over this relevant. I felt bad for him because he still kept wearing that hot leather in the heat. And I'm like, sir, I know you got to be dying wearing that leather jacket and that leather suit in Westeros. It ain't cold.
King's Landing.
Hey, thank you, King's Landing. Thank you. I kept saying Westeros, but King's Landing. Thank you.
Yeah.
But that's who he is in my eyes. How about you, sir?
I appreciate you bringing up the scene with the deserter from the Night's Watch. The idea being, it's like, how can we show you who this man is? He empathizes with the guy who ran away, but at that same time, he is held back by being a man of the law, being a man of honor. So he cannot let him escape. He has to be the one to take care of it personally. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give it to some subordinate. He says, all right, guys, children, gather up. While you're here, this is what an honorable man does.
Mm-hmm.
Kills a guy on the spot because he broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, now I know who this man is in one scene.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant work by Martin Eyre. Brilliant work by the filmmakers for the TV show. And then, so when what happens, happens later on happens, he's the same guy from the very beginning. He's changed a little bit, but you know he's going to make the wrong play thinking doing the righteous thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a man I can respect immensely, even though, yeah, you can argue, well, he should have played the game more, or well, someone needed to be him in that system.
Yes.
And it cost him everything. But at that same time, he was himself to the end.
To the very end.
Ned Stark is that man.
Yes.
Even though you could argue a little bit, oh, he was giving things up to become a man of the watch, and maybe some plays were made there, but like, no, he was still doing that based on, let me preserve my family, let me love them, but also follow the law.
Follow the law and the honor and the reputation that the Starks maintain, yes, in the North.
The Stark name has power, and if I abuse it, no one's going to trust us.
No one's going to trust us. And so he holds fast to that tradition, to the name, to the honor, to the code, to the reputation, to the very end, which is admirable. I hated that he died, because I wanted to see, you know, what would happen if he would have lived. I don't even know if this. I'm sorry, I ain't paying attention to any of your questions. I'll be honest. But if he would have lived, man, that would have been a different story, a different show altogether.
John has one of the greatest supporters he could have up there. In the North, he probably learns who he is a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Ned is disgraced in the eyes of the other nobles, but is earning honor back by being part of the Night's Watch. I could see that slipping maybe in a night they get drunk together and it happens. Who knows? he'll probably sacrifice himself trying to stop the White Walkers at some point, leaving John to be the guy to take up the reins.
Yeah.
I think that's how it would have gone if he had survived, the reason he died is a huge casus belli for why the North becomes one of the major players in the War of the Five Kings.
Yes.
If he hadn't have been killed, they might have stayed out of the affairs and been the best looking out of everyone involved.
Hey, podcast fam. Want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you're feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
They would have, you're right. They would have kept their nose out of it. They were like, this ain't has nothing to do with us, because winter is coming.
Yes.
Because winter is coming. And that saying meant something before you even knew it meant something.
Mm.
Because the reality is, you're like, okay,
yeah, literally
how it was set up and everything, but because, you know, it starts off in the summer and everything, but so we thinking that winter's coming, but no, the winter was coming, and it was coming for everybody. Like you thought that she was good because you was in Bravos, so the other side, and didn't it touched everybody. Everybody wasn't impacted by winter coming.
I'm so glad you asked the alternate question of what happens if he survives, because we have to ask the question in this series, what happens if he's not there at all? He doesn't exist. How does the series progress?
It would not have progressed as the way it would have, because you would have Robert being rambunctious and no one to steer him somewhat in the right direction. Somewhat. But then you will still probably end up with Joffrey being on the throne still. Because I played around with this, that if he did not, what if Robert didn't, after John Arryn had passed, chose his father-in-law to be his hand, and just left Ned to be the Warden of the North like he was. And but knowing how Tywin Lannister, knowing how he is, they would never believe about the White Walkers, though. They never would have believed that. They would have thought it was tales, and that's just something that North told their children to make them scared and go to bed at night. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You got me. I mean, this ain't even some of the stuff we talking about, because we talking about Ned. But Ned is a pivotal character. Even after he dies in the first season, his shadow still covers the rest of the show. His shadow is still felt throughout the rest of the show, the rest of the series. And I'm talking, is it seven seasons or eight? How many seasons eight it seasons. Is? It's eight seasons. Ned Stark's shadow still impacted even at the very end.
Yes.
Which is fascinating to have for a character who was killed off in the first season. I don't know how it was in the books, but in the first season, to still have an impact seven seasons later, that his impact was still felt, which is fascinating. That is the impact of a true character, a true man who embodied, again, honor, tradition, and he held secrets. He kept the secrets there for everybody, because he knew the secrets of Cersei. He knew the secrets of his own. It wasn't his bastard, but it was his nephew. He knew the secret. But he helped those, and because of and his that's honor, like
the one time he broke his code to keep that secret.
Remind me, I'm sorry.
He broke the code to keep that secret.
Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes,
John wouldn't die.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He broke that code.
But he would rather people think that he was the one who fathered him, and all the accusations thrown about him, all the problems that caused his marriage, for the sake of keeping John alive.
And because if they would have known, if John was who John was, oh yeah, that would have caused a lot of problems, because then you would have. He would have a right to claim the throne because he was a Targaryen. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of problems. Yeah.
So in regards to if Ned doesn't exist, so the Stark house, you still have his older brother, Brandon. You have his sister, Lyanna, and you have his younger brother, Benjen. Benjen's the one who joins the Night Watch. Mm-hmm. So if Ned doesn't exist, I don't know. Benjen is younger than him, so would he have ever palled around with Robert Baratheon?
No.
Probably not.
No.
So Robert, like you said, would not have the support of Ned.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because think about it. Because Robert's rebellion was based off of the Mad King. Like, he was literally just trying to kill everybody. And so, but because Ned was a fighter and he supported his friend, that's why he got into the fight in the first place. But what if Ned? You can't think of how the show would be without him, because he's such an integral part. He is Robert's best friend. He is the Warden of the North. He is the keeper of oaths. He's the keeper of secrets. And he also is his wife is the
what, she doesn't get married to him. He's not there.
No, because John Arryn was John Arryn was not his
married,
not his
He married Catelyn's only sister.
It was his brother-in-law.
Yes.
It was his brother-in-law. Yeah, John Aaron was his brother-in-law. But it's funny to ask, like, what could you? You cannot think.
It could go anywhere.
No, I mean the story could go anywhere, but to say that he's not a part of it, it wouldn't be the same.
Wouldn't be the show.
It
would. And that's one reason why we asked this question is like, how much does our main character impact the world that they're in? Immensely.
He is integral. He's such an integral part that you see that even with the flashbacks when they do, you know, going back to when his sister Lyanna was secretly married to the Targaryen boy. I can't remember
Rhaegar.
One of them.
I think. one of them fancy foreign names.
And Ned honoring his sister's wish of saying, "Hey, this is who he is," and keep him safe, and he did. And like you said, even to the point of his marriage, to the point of his reputation. His reputation was on. But even though Jon Snow was quote unquote a bastard, Ned Stark's reputation only went down a peg. Because of who he was.
It's more like people saying, oh, even he's susceptible to the ways of the world. Right. Like, everyone has their vices. It's not like, earth shattering.
Yep. So no. You couldn't do anything different.
So when it comes in particular to this series as a whole, would you rather be Ned's mentors, of many of which are there. We'll talk about a couple in a bit. Or would you rather be the one who is being influenced, Ned, in this sense?
I would want to be an influence because all the mentors die. I would want to live. All of his mentors end up. His best friend was killed. Who else? John Aaron was killed. Who else end up dying? As his mentor, I can't think of anybody else. His brother does die. His father's with him,
if I remember correctly, because they were both going down to bring Lyanna back, if I remember that sequence, and that's when the trial by combat by fire happens with the Mad King. And I think I want to say they're both there and they both die. If I get that wrong.
So, just off the sheer fact, I want to live. I want to be an influencer. just off of that. Cause once you die, like you either get poisoned, get your head chopped off, you get eaten by a boar, you still get poisoned, you get burned by fire, or you get killed by the White Walkers and then become part of the army of the dead. Or you get stabbed by your friends if you're on the night watch. So no, I would want to be an influencer. I don't want to die. I think that's all the ways that somebody died.
I think that's totally fair.
I think it was. Did I miss something? No, I think that there was. It was stabbed, head chopped off, burnt by fire, poison, the boar, poison again. Yeah.
All truly terrible things to endure.
Under White Walkers, yes. Yeah, no. I think the worst is the White Walkers. Like literally just watching the Night King when they went beyond the wall. To bring the wildlings back through the wall, and watch him just raise all of those dead fighters as you're leaving. Burn me. I understand why they said burn me now in the north. I understand why they said no, burn me in the north.
Don't let me become one of them.
This.
I mean, we've been asking this question every single episode, and this is pretty much asking like, hey, would you rather be in a rock or a hard place? Would you, it's like when someone says, yeah, I'd totally live in a Dragon Ball world or something like that. And you're like, oh, really? You want to get genocided by Boo and have to be brought back by the Dragon Balls and die multiple times over?
Multiple times.
You know, it's like, no, there is no winning answer here. I mean, maybe you could say I could be Ned and I could change history, but I don't know about that one. I mean, honestly, out of the choices presented, I guess I would be John Aaron in this situation. Okay. I mean, I have arguably 100% success rate. I'd argue probably about 75% given who Robert actually becomes as a person. But like with my mentees here, I have the new king and I have the most moral man who ever existed in this world. I helped shape them into being. You know what? Even though I'm poisoned by my wife, who is way too young for me in this scenario. Sorry, that's who I have to be in this if I become John Aaron, politics and the like. But yeah, I'm choosing his life. He did die pretty old.
No, he did. He did die pretty old. He did. He was able to become the quote unquote prime minister of the realm, because that's what the Hand of the King was. Was like, that's an interesting, but again, I don't want to die. That's I'm like, I would rather be like Varys. I don't want to be Littlefinger. Because Littlefinger is not liked or trusted by, even though Varys isn't either, but Varys is cunning enough to know how to maneuver without showing his hand.
They were actually going to be part of my honorable mentions after we go through our main list of like mentors of a sort to Ned, being like, hey, you got to learn the game in various ways.
I wouldn't consider them mentors. I would consider them influencers.
That's a better way of putting it.
Yeah. Because a mentor was somebody who had really, they didn't care about, well, Varys did. Varys did care to a certain degree.
Littlefinger was more like, I'm telling you the truth, knowing you'll never accept the truth, and that I just live off of your tears as at this point in time because I'm a terrible person.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Littlefinger was terrible. It was horrible.
All right. So let's say we get into those mentors, influencers, friends, family, the like, starting, of course, with the big one, John Aaron. So what do you have to say about him other than what we've said so far?
I think John was someone who also taught Ned honor, but he didn't teach him discernment. Let's just be real. Like, he did not teach him discernment, because if he would have said to him, hey, listen, this is how you do certain things, but when you're here, because in the North, everything that Ned did in King's Landing would have worked in the North. It would have worked fine in the North. But having that mentality going south to King's Landing did not work. Like, you had to be able to hold secrets, have secrets, to blackmail, to get people to know their vices and all that. You have to get a one up on everybody. And so I think John Aaron was a good man. He raised him right. He helped both Ned and Robert to be honorable, but did not teach them discernment. And the fallacy is that you can raise a child to be good, but if you can't help them to spot evil, It's a lack of preparing them for the world. And so he didn't help him to see the evil of the world. Because again, I mean, in the North, you really don't have nothing to really worry about but some wildlings coming back every now and again to steal some sheep or maybe a oathbreaker from the Night Watch. That was it. Even the stories of the White Walkers was beyond the wall. So you're like, we got this wall. This 700 meter high wall that ran from one end to the coast to the other end of the coast. We ain't got nothing to worry about. So they can try to come through if they want to. Giant, what giants? They just don't care about no giants. Yeah, but that was, I think, again, he was great. Even though I didn't know him in the series, but even knowing some of the things that he did throughout the series, John Aaron, you can see how that honor was passed down from both him and Robert, but Robert was himself. A warrior, not a ruler. That's the reality. Yeah. Robert was a warrior, not a ruler.
Yeah, Aaron's a really good example of a posthumous character. You know, he's never on screen from, I don't think even in flashbacks from what I can recall from the books. But you can feel his influence without him physically ever showing up in both Ned and Robert in different ways. And these are his success stories. Well, gosh, there's got to be something about this guy that he was able to mold these young men into who they became. Clearly, he had enough of an effect on them that maybe maybe he tried to teach Ned, hey, here's how you need to play the game. And Ned was like, nope, that's not how I'm going to do things. I think that may actually be in the text. It's once again been a while since I've read them. But yeah, Ned, he had some aspects of what we would expect from like King's Landing in the North. He'd had to, you know, deal with the Boltons and, you know, the Iron Islands rebellions and stuff like that, and making sure stuff like that was done correctly, making sure the Night's Watch was being ran correctly. But like, it still like pales in comparison to King's Landing. So while he had some talent, it wasn't good enough because he refused to adapt to the situation.
And you have to adapt to your, you don't have to compromise your morals.
Yes, you have to adapt. There's a difference.
Yeah, you have to adapt. And one of the things he could have done was to talk to his friend Robert, saying, first of all, let's slow down on these women and his drinking, because I'm starting to count around King's Landing. There's a lot of youths that's running around here. let's slow it down. Better yet, let's do a tour. I think that's probably one of the better thing to do. Let's take a tour of the kingdom. And let's have you ride around so you don't have to be wandering around. And you can go hunting stags and whatever it is. But I mean, Robert liked killing, though. But he admitted, he didn't like ruling. He didn't like ruling. He hated it. He thought it was boring. So he was like, whatever. I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent. I realized.
No, that's fine.
About, because this is a great show, though. There's a lot of angles to this show. And even though we're doing Ned Stark, you can see how many layers it is with him, even with him.
All right, next up, we got his brother, his older brother, Brandon. What do you got to say about him?
I don't remember. Wait. Brandon was the one
who went down south to confront Aerys, the Mad King. I think that was his name.
So I'm going to be honest. I don't remember him through the series, because he wasn't. Yeah. He was talked about.
He's another posthumous character,
right? He was talked about, but it was alluded to. And I don't. So I'm a yield because I don't remember. That's this.
That had the same upbringing as Ned. Was a little more fiery, ironically enough, in demeanor compared to Ned, who was more even tempered, able to like think things through, but like, nope, his sister got taken, goes down, demands her to come back. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen, and demands a trial by combat, as according to the law. And that's when, of course, Mad King uses his knight is going to be fire, and Brandon doesn't make it. And that's being one of the things that spirals into one of the reasons why Ned joins the rebellion. Of course, the kidnapping of his sister being one, but the cruel way in which his brother died, and once again, maybe his father was there too, kind of like sealing the deal, as it were, being like, nope. Game over. Like, we're gonna have to start this rebellion right now and take this Mad King down.
Yes. Which again speaks to the Stark's honor and family. Like
yes.
Even though his brother was probably a little hot-headed, and probably just thought that he knew better than everyone else, but still. Ned was like, this is still my brother. This is still my family. I don't care how wrong he is or how messed up he is. We still gonna protect and fight for him.
Yeah. And it's part of that hot-headedness that maybe if he had actually spent time not throwing out accusations, but spending time to learn the situation, he may have actually learned that, as we do find out, not in the books, because once again, Martin, but in the show, that Lyanna actually came down willingly to become the princess and later would be queen of Rhaegar Targaryen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was no seizing by force. It was all mutual and consensual.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one thing that if Ned had been the one to do it, things might've gone a little differently, considering his more even keeled kind of demeanor. But unfortunately for everyone involved, it was Brandon.
Which started it all.
Yeah. Then we could have Catelyn Tully / Stark, his wife. So what do you think about good old Catelyn being an influence to Ned?
So she was his backbone. Mm. She really held everything together, and she swallowed her own pride and raised John as one of her own, even though she resented it because it was a slap in her face to saying that her husband did not keep his vows. when he was wherever he was, according to the lore. But we know, you know, that's not the case. But yeah, she still held it together, and she was such a pillar that she then had influences on how the story unfolded, even after her husband died. Because remember when Bran saw the twins copulating.
Yes.
Trying to use my good words.
Good job.
And then he got pushed out the window. That Littlefinger tells her that it was mm-hmm. it was the imp. It was Tyrion. And so when she saw him, he's like, "Oh no, I'm finna." And I said, "We out in these streets, but we in the north. Oh no, we're gonna arrest him. Let's take him to my sister's, because you're gonna get pushed out the little. You gonna no? What do you say? You're gonna fly.
You're gonna fly."
And the moon.
Oh, what you call it?
The moon something. It was the moon something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she had influences on how even the story unfolded, because even before when they went to war, and his son was taking over, she still had some influences on him, because she released what was that? Not with the twin Lannister. Jamie Lannister. Yeah, she that set another type mm-hmm. of. Ripple in the time span of everything, because if she did not release him, they could have had negotiating all this other stuff, and so So Catelyn was not as big as Ned, but she still had an influence though. She still had an influence, and they still respected her because of her husband, and she was very respectable. Woman as it is, because of what she did, and she cared for her children, period. Even the bastard Jon Snow.
Yeah. Catelyn, as opposed to Ned, is more hot-headed than impetuous. Not like she'll just fly off the handle, but like it is easier for her to do what Ned wouldn't do in a situation. That's one of the things, they balance each other really well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the whole thing with Jon Snow, like the resentment she must feel and yet remain with her husband, that is huge. As far as she's aware, he actually did it. And there mm-hmm. is living physical proof right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Ned was never going to tell anyone except for John eventually, mm-hmm. was his plan.
Now it would have been interesting if John was born with that blonde hair. Then it's not blonde. It's the white.
Or the platinum blonde.
Yeah, platinum blonde. That would have been like, wait, did you steal this baby? Did you steal this baby? Because he don't look like us. Nobody in the North had that type of hair. He's a Targaryen. They would recognize that from the get-go.
Westerosi genetics isn't based on any science that's recognized by any Punnett square, whatever you call it, Punnett square. We look at it. Yeah, it's weird. Because by the show's logic, he should have that hair.
He should have that hair, because that's who his father was.
Yes.
Yeah. No, because it's only when they intermingle amongst themselves that they had that hair.
Is that it? Did they say that in House of the Dragon?
Well, every Targaryen. No. I take that back. Because, dang it, who's the king? Is it Varys? Is the Viserys? King Viserys? When he married
Allison.
Yeah, his kids had that hair. That bright color hair.
Like I said, genetics are magic, man. Don't you know?
Yes.
There's no science involved here.
None whatsoever.
But I think the way that Catelyn works best is when she and Ned are like not fighting each other, but are like opposing each other with words and like bouncing off ideas with each other so that he can understand things better, she can understand his point of view better, and they make the marriage work. That is quite possibly one of the greatest miracles in Game of Thrones, is that they stick together, even putting all aside the political stuff, if they ever divorced or anything like that, but like that she doesn't cheat on anyone else. Like they actually maintain a healthy relationship. They have children after this fact. Like something was repaired there because they actually worked on it together.
They did. And I'm pretty sure he wanted to tell her at some point
he did.
That, you know, this is my nephew. But he had to keep that appearance, because if anybody knew that he was a Targaryen, he would have died instantly. I don't care where he was. They would have killed him. Instantly.
Game, set, match.
Yeah. But that's why I think she is, and I agree with you too. Yeah. So we got it. Who else we going to talk about?
All right. So for mainly here, I have Lyanna Stark. And that, of course, being his sister, who is supposedly stolen by the Targaryens to become what he believes to be a sex slave, but in actuality is in a consensual relationship that just didn't broadcast it because they were afraid of what people would think about them. So, like, she is the major reason. Yeah, of course, with the death of his brother and, once again, potentially his dad. I could have looked it up this whole time, but I kept forgetting to do that. But she's one of the main reasons why he does what he does.
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't want to die. Yeah, he doesn't want Robert to die or John Arryn to die. But his sister, if he can get his sister back, it would have made this all worth it.
Yes. But let me ask this question, because this is the part I was confused about. Was she betrothed to Robert Baratheon?
He definitely wanted it to happen.
Right,
and
right.
She had talked to Ned, and he mentioned, like, hey, this was a bad match because it wouldn't. Yeah, he wanted her, but Ned knew Robert and knew he would never be faithful to her.
Oh, okay. So and she was.
That
so
was
she,
a major reason why she chose Rhaegar, because she felt like he would.
Okay. Which he did. But her shadow, the ghost of her, is seen, even though we don't know it at the time, through Jon Snow.
Yes.
Even though she's not there, she's always present because of Jon Snow. But she's the one, like the whole thing of promise me dead. Like that right there set everything in motion to where we ended up, how we ended up, even in the whole Game of Thrones series in of itself. Like that there, and we don't see that until like season seven or season six, seven, eight, somewhere in the end. But that then makes everything sense, because now you know, okay, so Jon Snow is not a bastard, he's a Targaryen. And because mm-hmm. of that, you know, that's why a lot of this was fighting, which we didn't know then, but we know, you know, after the fact. But her death impacted three families, if I'm looking at this right: the Targaryens, the Baratheons, and the Starks. No, and the Lannisters, because the Lannisters was involved in this too, in that regard. And so that is to have someone that type of influence that caused the war to break out was fascinating. Like she was I mean, it was other mitigating factors, like the king, the Mad King was one trying to blow up everybody with wildfire, and I was like, yo, that wildfire, just humor me, that wildfire, that thing that burns on water, yo, and I was like, and then when she blew up the scepter and everybody else in there, I gotta give it to Cersei, like. That was a power move, but she was very naive in how she thought about stuff. But the fact that she blew it, like, she got rid of everybody. Like, you know what? Forget it. I'm gonna just make sure all of y'all die so I can just do my own thing. But she didn't know what that would do to her, because Tommen then jumps out the window and commits suicide because of that, which was sad. Oh, Tommen would have been a great king. I'm just sad to say that he would have been a great king.
He had all the makings of it.
He did, but he was a little naive, but...
Yeah. He was also young.
He was very young. He was very young, but he would have been great, but especially in comparison to Joffrey. Lord have mercy.
So, yeah.
That's just... Okay. All right. But anyway.
Yeah, what such a terrible fate to be married to Marjorie Tyrell. You know, I would never want to be in that scenario.
Well, she wasn't that bad, though.
No, that was a joke.
Because I was like, no,
that's a gorgeous woman.
So, yeah, no, yeah. So, so, but have your mama to be Cersei, though.
Sure. Sign me up.
Yeah, it was, okay.
I can have messed up parents if I end up there.
Messed up, yes. The whole family was all messed up. The whole family messed up. Even
Thank you all so much for your time listening to this episode. If you want to help sponsor our show, but you can't quite do the membership thing, commit to that once a month payment, good news, you can leave a donation on our Fourth Wall website. You also can get some free content over there. So if you don't have the money for the membership, but you still want to hear some of the extras and bonuses we do over on Fourth Wall, there's an option for that. If you want to support the show without that commitment every month, again, you can donate over there. Every little bit helps. You know, our show has a lot of needs when it comes to equipment, when it comes to going to some of the events we want to go to, advertising, getting the word out about our show. It takes a lot, and we really appreciate each and every person who's able to help us do it, even if it's something free, just like the free membership or leaving a rate and review on our site. Every little bit helps. Your time listening to this helps, and we appreciate all of you. We're so proud of the community we formed over at Systematic Ecology, and we're very happy and we're proud that you're a part of it. Thank you so much for your time and for being a part of this community.
Even though Tyrion was the only one that was sane and the best at his job out of everybody, in my opinion, Tyrion was the best hand and out of everybody. I mean, he could have ran the kingdom, but he didn't need to, because being the hand was good enough, and he should have stayed the hand. But his father just like, you know what? You better be thankful I let you live, okay? Because you was a Lannister. I was like, dang, that's cold to tell your son that I let you live because you had my name. I'm sorry. Anyway.
So I think we can go ahead and skip ahead. We mentioned some honorable mentions earlier. Unless there's someone that's on your mind that you want to throw out there.
The other one is Samwell Tully.
For Ned?
Think about it like this. If Sam met Ned, think about what that conversation would have been like.
Okay. I see the possibility you bring up there. Like, how would he interact with Sam?
Right.
And support his friendship with, if we live in an alternate reality where he does end up with the Night's Watch, that would be there's a lot of fun story potential there.
Yes. Yes. And so I'm like, don't discredit Samwell. So Samwell they made him seem like he was aloof and not worthy to be a Tully. Sam had he was very brilliant.
Charlie.
He was very brilliant. And I would have wanted him to be the chief, chief maester, whatever. I don't know, but you know, the one that gets to go to King's Landing. High maester. That's the high scepter.
Head maester.
Whatever. But he would be he would have been great. And to then have him to talk to Ned and saying, hey, you know what? The guy that you cut his head off, when he was talking about the White Walkers, you know, I've seen them. You know, I don't have no reason to lie. You know, I think we should be preparing for this versus fighting these people down south because they don't care. We need to be figuring out how to get these people from the wildlings down south, because they don't become a part of the army of the dead. So that's my honorable mention outside of everybody else we've talked about.
Okay, so like moving ahead a bit, just like what parts of Ned's journey should we emulate or like excise, remove completely from our own lives? It's like aspects of his character.
I think one of the biggest things would be one of the things we need to learn from him is to be able to read the room. Like understand the characters and the motivation behind people. Believe people when they show you who they truly are. Because the word was born in the North. Like if you said you was going to do something, we honored you by your word. But in King's Landing, it was the actions that mattered more than anything else. So he had to be able to read the room and understanding that how people position themselves in the city, and then people coming to you. Like if somebody came to you and offer you some unsolicited advice, you should have held it. Just should have held it. But also the other thing, and this is my pastoral side coming in, is when you do not do the work of unhealed grief, it can have a ripple effect throughout your own family. And so the grief of not only his brother, but his sister, like losing those parts of himself, and even his father, losing those parts of himself and then having to be the responsible one for everyone makes every decision you make is in relation to something that you didn't work on, it impacts the future, which we don't think about.
Yes.
But if he would have dealt with his own grief and dealt with his own sorrow, his own pain, I would assume that he would not have gotten into the war with Robert, or maybe have told Robert, hey, let's take a step back first, because even though the Mad King is mad, he's still our king. I think the only reason that they fought the Mad King because there was no dragons. There was dragons, you know, that would have been a different story. But because there were no dragons, and plus we knew the Mad King was losing it too.
Yes.
But and then the last thing I would throw out is, and this is one of the great takeaways, is having real mentors and telling you what you needed to hear is a jewel that we don't recognize in this society. Like mm-hmm. there's a lot of people who are trying to do things on their own when there's other people who have walked that same path, that if you just lend yourself to them, even if you have to ask someone, hey, can you help me? Or I'm struggling in this. What could you provide for me? Because what else, the other thing that Ned could have done was to ask, Tywin, you've been a hand before. Is there anything I need to know going into this job? That would have shaped how all this would have played out as well. Because Tywin would have told him, listen, if you have a king that does not want to rule, then you have to rule in his stead, but rule justly. And make sure that you're making sure that the people, because it was always the people, you had to make sure the people was happy. Not the Red Keep, but the people. That would have been the main thing. So those are my three. Those are my three that you could take away from his life.
Ned having the humility to go up to Tywin Lannister and ask for his advice might have changed their entire dynamic. I don't think he would have seen Ned as like a pawn, but he would have gained a respect for him that he cared enough about his opinion to ask that question. That's a big one. Ooh. Now, I'll say, from my side of things, I think Ned's greatest strength is also his greatest weakness. His fatal flaw, as it were, is that he is honest and a slave to the law. Mm-hmm. Also, at that same time, being a proponent of the law, a speaker of the law, someone who can actually get things done. And that's what's always used against him, mm-hmm. is this idea. It's like, look, I believe in the laws written down in scripture about what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. But I know there are greater laws in place, that being love God, love your neighbor as yourself. So mm-hmm. a law against someone stealing, well, I see someone stealing something, I also noticed it doesn't look like they haven't ate in a while, I ain't saying nothing at that point in time. I may come to them later and say, hey, we've got this organization here, it might help you out, all this mess. But like, there's a greater love, there's a greater good that could be achieved instead of being faultless, like the law is an absolute. In this particular, ignoring that there's a higher absolute to follow.
Yes.
I think that would have kept him out of a lot of problems. And I think he would have seen it as personal weakness, because the more I don't follow the law, the less trustworthy I am in his own mind. Mm-hmm. While other people would have gone, oh, in other things he's like this, but like he let this slip because he really is an honorable man and he cared more about the person than the law. But, you know, it is what it is with Ned. Mm-hmm. He was never going to change that about himself. So like, there's a way to follow the law well, and there are times to bend the rules.
Yes.
It's okay to bend rules well for loving other people versus this benefits me.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a very good analysis of Ned. I think the main thing I'm hearing from you is being able to adapt to where you are.
That's a great one too. Like, he has an inability to adapt pretty much almost everywhere. Like, he can, it's just very temporary, and it's not going to last long.
No. And again, even though I was joking, but you can see that in the fact that he still wore his hot leather in King's Landing. Like, literally, you are in a different climate and you ain't changed your clothes to match the climate.
Yeah. No, couldn't be me.
No. Yeah. No.
So we are going to ask a special bonus question here for our supporters. That's going to be like, if somehow for some reason we had to be the hand of Robert Baratheon, what would we do to help curb his baser instincts? A difficult question. We'll see. So, Kino, before we head that way, you have any recommendations for the audience?
Yeah. So I would recommend rewatching the show. Like, literally, I think I'm going to go back and rewatch it again. I think I'm going to watch it again. Because I'm like, yo, like, this was a great show. Outside of the last season, but I still watched it. Just have to put it out there. You got to close the book. I would recommend rewatching the show. Even if you've seen it, it's nothing wrong. No harm in watching it again, because it is still a great, great show. So that would be my recommendation.
I'm going to recommend the newest season of Daredevil. I am loving it. There have been some set leaks, some by the actors themselves, about who will be appearing in the season after this. And I am all for it, because they are building up on what came before in the Netflix series very well. There's a faithful love for what happened before, but also they're telling new stories. Love what they're doing with Daredevil. So I'd like to thank some people real quick, some supporters. And if you'd like to hear your own name, you can always throw $3 our way to our fourth wall. And the link will be down below in the description somewhere. Thank you to Aaron Hardy, Daniel Sigmund, Trip Fuller, and James Barrett. But remember, we're all the chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Hey guys, I really hate to interrupt, but my name's TJ, and I'm here to tell you about our new merch. We have incredible new stuff with Fourth Wall. We have just partnered with them as a new store. They have a lot more to offer, which means we have a lot more to offer. We can now offer you beautiful comfort colors t-shirts. They're so comfy. I wear mine all the time, and we've got it all now. Cups, hats, backpacks, pajamas. If you want your systematic geekology pajamas, you know where to go. My personal favorite is actually our Throne of Geeks shirt. It is comfort colors, you know, blue, black, green, red, orange. And the shirts are just so nice. And the shirt itself, we've got the Throne of Iron geeked out, because, you know, that's our brand. We've got Mjolnir on there, the Buster Sword, Trident. Basically, just the coolest weapons from our favorite properties are on the shirt, instead of a bunch of normal boring swords from the boring series Game of Thrones. So check that out, and thank you.
This is Joshua Knoll. I am one of the hosts of this podcast. I am also host a few other shows on the Anazal Podcast Network that this show is a part of. If you want to hear more from me, you can check out the Whole Church Podcast, where TJ and I go through talking to people from various different church traditions to see what can be done to better harness church unity in the world today. You can also hear me on Be Living Water, where I talk about Taoist Christian beliefs and examine various media like the Book of Daniel and Les Miserables through a Taoist Christian perspective. You can also hear me as I do some of the voice work for the Bible After Hours, where the foul-mouthed preacher goes through the Bible from a more progressive point of view. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you'll consider checking out these other shows on the Anazal Podcast Network.